Praise God. Andrew, are you ready to share the word, love? Thank you, Jesus. It's good to come around the word of God. You never read the word or listen to the word without you go away changed, challenged and blessed. And I know it will be just the same today. Praise his name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be home. It's good to be back with the family. We've missed you. So, have you missed us? Is it because we're noisy that they've missed us? Well, we've missed you guys. It's so good to be back with family in the house of the Lord together. Rejoicing in the blessings of God and what God has been doing. It's great to hear how things have been going okay, and we praise God for that. I don't know if all of you know, but the church ride-on mower was stolen in the last couple of weeks. Somebody broke into the metal building at the back, which belongs to the scouts, where the mower was kept, and it's been stolen. So we have no grass cutter at the moment. But we need to pray.
Amen.
I've heard also that there's been a Nepalese family that were robbed by a gang in this area. And so, do you know, the only thing that will change this is prayer. The only thing that will stop these things happening is the power of prayer. And the church moving in the power of prayer, and the principalities and powers that drive these people will be brought down to their knees in Jesus' name. So prayer changes things. And I hear quite a few of you have been gathering at the prayer meeting while we've been away, and that's great. You know, the enemy is stirred up, he's on the run. We've got him backed into a corner. Let's press in and let's believe God for a great victory.
Yes.
You know, when you look today, you see that the work of the cross. Well, they have a cross in this building and on it they show Jesus. He's not there anymore.
No, not.
He's risen.
Amen.
He's risen.
Amen.
The tomb is empty.
Amen.
The stone has been rolled away. Grace and I have been there. The tomb definitely is empty. The stone is rolled away. He's risen. Hallelujah. He's ascended. He's glorified. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. What I want to share with you today, I know last week was round about the time of celebrating Pentecost. Well, guess what? I'm going to preach on what happened just after Pentecost.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, during the time and the after of Pentecost. And I've titled the message today, When the Spirit and the Word Come Together.
Amen.
What happens? When the Spirit of God and the Word of God come together. Things, miraculous things happen.
Amen.
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 You know, we can have so much word. We can be just word, 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 word. And that just fills our intellect. It fills our minds.
Yeah.
And our minds are tickled and fed.
Yeah.
But you see, the Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
And our spirit also needs to be fed.
It does.
And our spirit needs to connect with God.
Amen.
Our spirit needs to connect with the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit like this, you see. We have a microphone here. And whilst I can use this microphone like this now, and you can all hear me, can't you? It's been disconnected. Without the connection, it's useless, yeah. He's got it, the battery's in it. He's got everything there. But it's not connected. And the church can be like that. You know, we can have all the word you want, but you need to connect. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen. So when we're connected, with the Word and with the Spirit, then the power of God begins to flow. Miracles begin to happen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. We need to be filled with the Spirit. There is no doubt on that. But the Spirit on its own is no good without the Word. They have to combine together. And so it is so important that the Word of God and the Spirit of God flow together. If we look in Acts chapter 2 and go to verse 40. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. He says, "And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who received the Word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls to the church. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept sensing an awe, a fear, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common." Hallelujah. And so we see that as the Word, as you come under the teaching of the Word, as you come under the presence of the Word, and as the Spirit of God, things begin to happen. Signs, wonders, and souls. 3,000 men and women and children were added to the church that day, in one day. We couldn't get them all in, could we? We'd have to have 10 services on a Sunday. Well, maybe 8 services on a Sunday, just to get everybody in. Just think about that for a moment. Wow. What a problem. What a problem to have. Worship all day in the house of the Lord. Wow. What would that do to this area? What would 300 do? Whoa. You know, we've got to start thinking about this and spread this gospel, spread this great news that we have. I know there are a number of people away on holiday, and that's great for them. But the work of the kingdom of God does not stop. And we keep pressing on and moving forward in the things of God, and we will see God move. You know, some of you guys will know of this. There's a glue called araldite. And I often liken this, and I nickname this glue gospel glue. Araldite. There are two substances. Is that not right, Charles? Two liquids, basically. And you can rub liquid A in this finger all day and nothing will happen. Just, it's sticky. You can rub liquid B in this finger, and it's just sticky, and you could rub it all day and nothing will happen, will it? You just have sticky fingers. But the moment that you bring together A and B, things begin to happen.
Yeah.
And it begins to set.
Yeah.
And if you leave it for 24 hours, it is an amazingly strong glue. Can you help me get this undone, Stephen? Huh? Oh, thank you very much. Glory to God. Just shows you. I use that as a little symbol as being the Word and the Spirit. You bring them together. And there's power. There's power that flows. And we need to be a people of the Word and a people of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God needs to be moving through us. The word of prophecy, the word of knowledge and revelation, tongues and interpretation. All these gifts of the Spirit of God need to be present within us and moving forward. We need to see healing, signs, wonders and miracles. Kamala came in this afternoon and I said, "How are you?" She said, "Oh, I've got pains in my stomach." Well, there's nothing worse than sitting through a meeting in pain.
No.
So the first thing I did, I laid hands on her right there and then. We were having church. We'd started already. I laid hands on her. She came forward at the breaking of bread. I said, "How's this?" She said, "I'm healed. I'm healed." Glory to God. That's the power of Jesus. You see, that's the power when the Word and the Spirit come together. They change things. It's like the glue, A and B, when it comes together, it changes. It changes. It's like your sons. Sandy, when the power of God, when the Word of God and the power of the Spirit come together upon him, there's a change. Amen. That's what happened with you. We need both. You can have as much word as you want, but if there's no spirit, there'll be no change. There'll be no change. We need the word and we need the Spirit of God. We need to be a church that is full of the Spirit of God and full of the Word of God. And we will see things happening. We will see great things happening. Acts chapter 3. After the days of Pentecost, the church was together. They were gathered together. They were in prayer. They were praising God. There were miracles. People were being saved daily. People were being added to the church daily. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, and I love this story. This is what should happen to us now. Now Peter and John, they were going up to the temple. At the 9th hour of prayer. And so they were off up to the temple. They were just chatting about the things that God had been doing, and they were expressing their joy and their excitement about the things that had been happening. And as they got to the temple gateway, to the door, there was a man there begging. He wanted money. John, have you got any money?
No.
No. Neither have I. I put it all in the offering earlier. So what are we going to do? And they looked at this man and said, silver and gold, we don't have any, do we?
No.
But what we do have,
amen,
we're going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And they reached down their hands. And they grabbed hold of the man.
Amen.
And they pulled him up.
Amen.
And said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went leaping and praising God into the temple. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't need money. You need Jesus. You need the Spirit of God. And then you'll see things happening. You'll see things change. Signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I live and breathe the Word of God. Because I live to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I made a promise to God when I was 16, 17 years old. Lord, I want to live my life with signs, wonders, and miracles, and I want it no other way. For me, it's nothing. It's worth nothing after that. Because I have a God who has signs, wonders, and miracles. Right from the very beginning of creation, God showed who He was. He showed Himself to be a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. I'll show you in Genesis chapter 1. And it says there in Genesis chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the deep surface. And then he goes on to say, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit, was moving over the surface of the waters. Nothing happened. That's right. Nothing happened. The Spirit was just moving. He was waiting for the command of Almighty God. Amen. He was waiting for Jesus, the Word. Amen. And so the Spirit is just moving and ready. He's ready to come. He's ready to fill us. He's ready to visit us. He's ready to outpour Himself into the people of God. Amen. But He's waiting for the Word. He's waiting for the Word, I said. Amen. And the Spirit's there waiting. And then suddenly, God says, and let there be light. And the Spirit moved, and there was light.
Praise God.
Wow.
Amen.
We need both the Word and the Spirit. The Spirit gives life.
Yeah.
The Spirit gives life to this written book. The Spirit gives life to this Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, moving in our lives, gives life to you and to me. He's the healing God. He's the delivering God. He's the miracle-working God of bringing souls out of death and into life. Out of eternal damnation, He brings us into eternal reconciliation with Himself. We're redeemed and we're set free. We're moving in the presence of the Almighty God. We're allowed to go before God Himself and be in His presence.
Yeah.
And we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. The Spirit of God wants to move in each and every one of us. But we need to have Word in our life as well. We can't just be Spirit people. Because the Word guides us and directs us. The Word together with the Spirit will create the miracle working power of God.
Amen.
You can't just live on a diet of cherries and cream. You'll get sick. Your body will be out of balance. And so we need the Word and the Spirit that keeps us in balance with the things of the kingdom of God. That causes us to move in the power and in the revelation of the Almighty God. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to your friends. He wants to reveal the power of God through you. He wants to use each and every one of us.
Amen.
The question is, are we willing? Do we want God to use us? Do we want God to move through us? Are we willing? Sometimes, when God begins to move through you, people laugh at you. They ridicule you. They'll even say sometimes, your pastor's a little bit crazy. Oh, I'm crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm crazy about Jesus. People have said, oh, he gets excited. I'm glad I get excited. You see, how old are you now?
13.
When I was your age, I was shyer than you. I was quiet, reserved. When my school teacher heard that I'd given my life to Jesus and that I was going to an evangelical church, her jaw dropped and said, never. I can't see you going to one of those churches, because she knew there were lively churches. And I was quiet and shy, polite. Well, I still am polite, I think.
Yes.
Thank you, John. Reserved.
Yeah.
No. And I was. Dear wife, you didn't know me in those days, darling. And I was. I was quiet, shy, reserved, and everything like that. And I got saved, and I was still quiet, shy, and reserved. And then one day, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And something started to happen. I began to change. A and B came together and began to change me. The Word was already beginning its process of change. But when the Spirit came on, it began to accelerate. And you see, the Spirit of God comes upon us, and Jesus said, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and He will give you, He will empower you.
Amen.
You see, Jesus did not come to fill you with the Holy Spirit just for you to speak in tongues. It's not about just speaking in tongues. It is about empowering you with the Word of God. Empowering you to believe that you are standing before the very presence of God, and you are a vessel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you can release the power. You release the power. God wants to work through each and every one of us. So that when we lay hands on the sick, what happens? They get sicker? No. They get healed. When we pray for somebody with blind eyes, deaf ears, miracles happen. I want you to realize and to begin to believe this is what the Church of Jesus Christ should be like. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That this place, in days to come, they'll be queuing at the doors. Our hospital system at times seems to be failing. Well, we need a God of miracles working, and He needs to work through His people. Yeah, but He needs assistance. He needs assistance. He needs you and me. And the only way that that's going to happen is when we First of all, we're in the Word, but also we're in prayer. And Pentecost came about because all the disciples got together and began to pray. Do you know, they didn't know what they were praying for. They really didn't know what the Holy Spirit was directly. They'd seen Jesus heal people. They'd seen Jesus send them out and they'd heal people. They'd seen demons cast out and everything. But they still didn't really know what it was all about. Peter, as I said the other week, was a big coward. Because when the 13-year-old girl says to him, "Oh, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" He starts cursing and blaspheming. Shows how bold he was, you know. Peter the Rock, you know. And a little girl says, "You're one of his." No way. Not on your life. Never knew him. Never met him before, you know. But after Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he stood up and said to the people, "You who crucified Jesus, you." And he began to preach the gospel. And he began to declare what God was doing. Amen. See, that Spirit, the Spirit of God came upon him and gave him that boldness. Not a arrogance, but a boldness in the sense that he'd been taught much of the Word. He knew the Word, but he didn't have the Spirit. But when the Spirit came upon him, things began to change. Hallelujah. And the church began to grow, and things began to move. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that when two or three agree together in his word, touching any matter, then the Spirit of God moves and changes things. We have to bring together this great unity of the power of the Spirit. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 says this. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. "My son, my daughters, give attention to my word." Listen. Listen with your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your very eyes. Keep them there. Keep them in the midst of your heart, the word says. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Amen. So watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. This is the book of life. This is the book of life. This book with the Spirit of God brings life. It is a changing dynamic when the Word and the Spirit come together. And you and I need to realize that the Word of God, connected and mixed with the Spirit, creates miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. Creates miracles. We have a wonder-working God. You see, we have a God who does not work on his own. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." We're one. God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet, one. Yeah. One purpose, one goal. to bring to pass the blessings and the peace of God Almighty, to bring about heaven on the earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. You know, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. Come on, church. Some folks say, oh, you're an idealist. Well, God's an idealist. He said it. I'm only quoting what he says. And so I believe it. And Jesus went about, he says, healing all who were sick.
Amen.
Now, I've heard people say to him, oh, no. He didn't heal them all. Well, this book doesn't lie. It's a finished work. And he said, it says in here, he went about healing all. He raised the dead. Even in his death, when he's nailed to a cross, when he's being crucified on that cross, even at that point in time, people have been raised from the dead. That is the power of the Word and the Spirit at work. And people were coming out of the graves and witnessing and testifying of who this man on the cross was. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the healer, the deliverer, the one who sets every captive free. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so the Spirit and the Word comes together and brings life. Out of nothing, it brings life. Out of nothing, it creates something. This is God at work. And he's saying, I want you to be involved with it. God is saying, come and stand by my side. Because I want you to know my power. I want you to know and feel my presence moving through you. Again, we go back to the beginning in Genesis, and in the cool of the evening, God comes into the garden. And he comes to spend time with Adam and Eve. He wants to be connected to them. He wants to have this relationship with them. Constantly, God is saying, I want to know you. I want to know you. I'm interested in everything that's happening in your life. But God, you've got all the world to run. You've got the universe to keep in order. And yet you can still find time to come and sort out my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And the answer to that question is, yes, my son. Yes, my daughter.
Oh, yes.
I have.
Wow.
Because you see, he's interested in every one of us. And when the Word and the Spirit come together, power, miracles begin to flow. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 says this: so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Without it accomplishes what I desire. And without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. God's saying, His word will always accomplish that which He has sent it out to do. Praise God. When God speaks on your behalf, when God passes judgment on your circumstance and your situation, that word will go out and will bring life, truth, peace, health in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We have to believe that, because that's what His word tells us. God's word will always go out, and it will always succeed. It will always be successful. Praise God. Your prayers mixed with the word of God. You pray in the Spirit and you pray the word of God. You can guarantee there is an answer on its way. It has been released from the very throne room of God. Yeah. So true. Some of you folk, you look at your sons and your daughters and you see a miracle. You see the life of God flowing through them. And as you pray for them every day and quote the word and pray the word over them every day, you will see miracles. You will see changes. You cannot change somebody. No matter how hard you try. But I tell you, God can. God changes people. He changed me. God changes people. You can't. But God can. And let me tell you, parents, pray for your children. Pray the word of God over them and give them over to God and let God do that work, because God will do that work. I remember Poona saying that she gave Daniel to Jesus in the end and prayed. And God gave her a promise and visited her and told her everything's going to be okay. Everything, but she looked at it and he's like, but it doesn't look like it's going to be okay. It's not what it looks like. No. It's what God has said.
Yeah.
It's what God has said.
Amen.
And what we need to do to see these things happening, to see the move of the Spirit, we need to be in unity. And I don't mean just us together. In unity. I mean, we need to be in unity with the Church of Jesus Christ. If you've got something against a brother in another church, you've got to forgive them. You've got to love them. You've got to give them opportunity to enter back into your life. We cannot have any unforgiveness. Jealousy is not part of the kingdom of God. You see, there's an abundance in God. There's such an abundance in God, should I say. There's no room for jealousy, because there's more than you can ever ask or think available to you. So you can't be, there's no reason to be jealous. Jesus gave us a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you.
Amen.
What does he mean? He says, I love you, but even though you're a sinner, he says, I still love you. Even though you've done things wrong, he says, I still love you. He even says at times to us, even though at times you've denied me, I still love you. Even when you've done things wrong, I still love you. I forgive you. The cross is a sign of forgiveness. God wants to add to each and every one of us of himself. So we should forgive each other. And we should hold a hand out of fellowship and connect. The church does not need to be separated. The church does not need to be divided. It needs to be in unity. And no matter what the past has got, I can't change the past. It's gone. But today, and if I'm alive tomorrow, and the day after, I can make those days count.
Amen.
It is so important. You see, I believe that we as a group of believers will not take this area on our own. We need to be together in fellowship with others. I'm already been sharing with a leader just recently, and that we might be in fellowship, and this he's saying he has the same thoughts, same heart and desire, that we're in fellowship, that we connect, because God wants to do great things. And it's not about, this is our church, this is my ministry. No, it's not. This is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are workers in this field. We're just workers in this field. Some of us have different jobs to do in the work. Some of us have different responsibilities, but we're still workers in the field of the kingdom of God. And so let me say to each and every one of us, if you in any way have any unforgiveness towards anybody, any resentment, any bitterness, bring it to the foot of the cross. Lay it there. And turn your back on it. And forgive. And begin to love. And hold out those arms that say, come on. We need to be in fellowship.
Amen.
We need each other. Like the Word and the Spirit. They need each other. And we need each other to see that God will work signs, wonders and miracles in this area and in our own lives. And that, you know, we don't want anything to be hindering you and me from growing in the things of God. It's so easy to say, well, so-and-so offended me many years ago and I'd never speak to them again. I lived in a family situation where my father could hold a grudge for years with people. If you said the wrong thing, he might not speak to you for 6 months. Can you imagine that? Your own father not speaking to you. For 6 months. You'd come in from school. You'd say, hi. Hi, Dad. Nothing. You'd sit at the dinner table. Total silence. An atmosphere. I lived with that for 21 years. But then I got married.
Praise the Lord.
And prior to that, I got saved and baptized in the Spirit, and I realized my life was never going to be like that. My marriage was never going to be like that. I was never going to not talk to somebody. And I knew that I had to learn to forgive quickly. Because there was such power in unforgiveness that it built a prison around everybody. There's so much power in unforgiveness, it will build a prison around you. And yet, but there's even greater power in forgiveness. It destroys every prison bar. It breaks down every prison door. And it opens doors and sets the captives free. So folk, let me tell you, if you've got some unforgiveness, I don't know why I'm saying this today, but I just feel it's important. If you have anything against a brother, a sister from the past, and you're in contact with them or you see them, deal with it. Deal with it. Open up the hand of friendship to them. And let God be God in that circumstance and that situation. Zechariah, into the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. Hallelujah. Next to the last book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And this is the word of the Lord speaking to Zerubbabel. And he says to him, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by cunning, it's not by deceit, but it's by my spirit, says God. God wants to move in our lives by his spirit. We have the word before us daily. We can read the word every day. But at the same time, we need to mix that word with the spirit. You can have in your house a jar of coffee. That's what we call it, don't we? We call it a jar of coffee. But do we drink that jar as it is? We don't, do we? But yet we refer to it as a jar of coffee, don't we? But really, it is a jar of coffee grains. You don't drink those coffee grains, do you? In that form. You have to add something to it. Is that not true? You take a spoonful of coffee grains and you place them in a cup. And then you take a boiling water and you pour it into the cup and you stir it, and suddenly you have a cup of coffee. But you had a jar of coffee. Why didn't you drink that? Ooh. Because there's something missing. Something missing. We have the word. We have the word. But we need to mix it with the spirit. And then we have something that is powerful. Something that we understand. Something that is real to us, that we can partake of as we mix the Spirit and the Word together. To see great changes in our nation and in the nations of the world, we need the Word of God. But we also need the Spirit of God. And those together will bring about the mighty changes and bring about the miracles that are needed in our nations today. And so it is important that we realize more and more that we need to flow together both in the Word and in the Spirit. We need to be moving as a people filled with the Spirit, but also filled with the Word of God. You can't separate the Word and the Spirit. They really are one in that sense, because when they come together, they change things. You see, God wants to open the floodgates. Grace and I, we were at a conference a few weeks ago, just a day's conference, and they were worshiping and ministering, and we had a time of waiting on God, waiting on the Spirit of God to speak to us and to give us some direction. And God showed me there was this enormous dam. Great wall, and behind that wall was the Spirit of God. We'd had all the Word, and behind the wall was the Spirit of God. It was dammed, it was being held back. And there were pipes, big pipes. And God said, all you need to do is to begin to turn. Begin to open the valves. And the Spirit, the water, began to run. And it began to bring life. You see, before it was all barrenness. There was nothing that was green. But suddenly, as the water was released from the dam, it brings life. And as the Spirit of God is released upon us, mixed with the Word, it will bring life. It will bring life with an abundance. There's a mighty, mighty reservoir of the Spirit of God waiting to overflow us. In the Word of God, it says, the former rain, the latter rain shall come together. There will be a rushing, gushing overflow of the things of the Spirit of God mixed with the Word. God is seeking, God is desiring to minister right now to the churches, to His people, to bring us to a place of knowing such power and blessing, to bring us to a place of revival. To bring us to a place where we're revived and we're vibrant and we're lush and we're green and we have something to give to the dying world outside. But it needs the Spirit of God upon us. It needs that you and I would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way amongst us. Without Him, we'll have no direction. And I say, you know, for the young people that come on a Friday night and on a Sunday, let that Spirit of God move into your life. It will be so powerful. Pray for your children that they will be touched by the Holy Spirit in such a way. Hosea chapter 6. I'll finish with this. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. It starts off like this. Come, the prophet says, let us return to the Lord. That's what we need to do. Make sure we're connected to God. Return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. Amen. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day. Do you know what this means? In Scripture it says a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Right? So, did you get that? A day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day to God. It's complicated, isn't it? You think, what? You know, the Lord, God looks at a day and he says it could be a thousand years. Or he looks at a thousand years and he says it can be a day. So what's he saying? How many years approximately is it since Jesus was crucified? Anybody know?
2,000.
How many years do you think it is, roughly? Round numbers. So it's about 2,000 years. A day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day, right? So 2,000 years ago, or 2 days ago, right? So if it's 2,000 years ago that Jesus died and rose from the dead, where are we now? We're moving into...
Hey, that's right, yeah,
are you thinking? I can hear your cogs turning now.
It's the third day.
We're moving into the third day.
Wow.
We're moving into the next 1,000 years, which is going to be 3,000 years.
Yeah?
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Scripture says... Here it is. And after 2 days, he will revive us. Jesus was 2 days in the tomb. On the third day, he was raised up. It's 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. It's day, we've finished day two. We're moving in the beginning of day three. We're in resurrection days. We're in the days of resurrection. He says, and he will raise us up on the third day. The third day is God's day of great blessing. The third day is the day when God is going to, by his Spirit, bring that outpouring, such an outpouring. It says that we shall live in his presence. Wow. I said right at the beginning, God wants to be with you. God wants to commune with you like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. God is restoring. And I know you think, well, he keeps saying this. But I'm going to keep saying it till you believe it, until we start seeing it happen. But God is restoring paradise. What the plans were, what his desires were in the very beginning, what he planned to create at the very beginning of creation, well, what he did create at the beginning of creation, and man helped destroy it. And God said, through Jesus Christ, he will restore all things back to himself.
Amen.
Day one. Well, day seven. Hallelujah. The perfect day. Amen. Living in his presence.
Yes.
I'd love at some stage to do some teaching, but I'm going to have some graphics that I need to do on that side. God this day wants you to know that we shall live in his sight. Live in his presence. This is the third day. We're living in the presence of God. It says in verse 3, he says, then we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as rain, as the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth. In other words, God in his third day, God He's going to pour out of His Spirit, pour out of His Spirit, pour out of His Spirit in this third day. We're living in the best days. We're living in the best days. Whether you believe it or not, we are living in the best days. We're living in the days that God has planned to bring about the kingdom of God into its fullness, into the power, and into the resurrection life. We're living in those days right now, and God wants to bring that to a full manifestation, and that is going to come about through His church. Amen? Praise God. For you. It's for you. It's for you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is so important that this word and the Spirit flow together. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah.
I'm so excited. We're going to see some great and mighty things. Don't look at what you see right now. Look at the promise. Keep your eye on the promise and go for it. Amen. Every opportunity God gives you, do it. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let's do it. I'm just so enthused today to do and to follow what God is saying and what God has promised.